take me past the outer court, through the holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face, take me past the crowds of people, and the
praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Y'all may be seated. I guess we need to receive an offering tonight. Is that correct? No. Continue to worship you tonight in our tithes and offerings, Lord. We give you the highest place. We withhold nothing from you. We ask you as we give tonight that you receive it, let it be a sweet smell to you. Sanctify it, multiply it so that it goes far beyond any need. And then bless the giver. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the holy of holies.
Just to check to see if you're awake. Well, Praise the Lord. Y'all ready to study a little bit tonight? Hopefully, we're going to get a little deeper. I believe that's what God wants us to do tonight. And if so, you've got to listen a little more careful. How about that? Y'all going to train your ears? We've got to take a big step in our thinking. I promise you, the Word of God is coming strong, and He wants us to take some large steps forward. The enemy is doing his best to take long steps forward, and we don't need to get at too much peace. Now, I want peace that passes understanding, but that means that I'm not getting upset in the middle of war. That's what that means. It doesn't mean that I'm. There is no fixed position in God. Y'all agree with that? He is trying to get us to move in His direction, which is a position of strength, honor, power. Y'all are looking at me funny. Don't you believe God wants you to be people of honor? How about power? We're going to study a little bit of that tonight. Father, we thank You for the opportunity, the privilege of meeting here tonight in Your name and in Your presence with Your Word. Give us the ability to speak what You want spoken here tonight and hear what You want heard. We yield all of that. We give it to You. Change us into Your likeness and image, Your mindset. And for that, we'll give You praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. All right. I was gone a little bit, but I want to review just a little bit about what we covered a couple of Wednesdays ago. Y'all ready to stay fast with me? Okay. Turn to Exodus 3:14. This is the name of this series is I Am That I Am. This is a short one-liner. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And He said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Y'all get that? I am has sent me to you. Anybody in here bold enough to say that tonight? I will. I will tell you that I am has sent me here to you. If you think that's ego, I'm sorry. You misread the Scriptures. Does God favor any one person? So what He said to Moses, He says to you and I, right? Okay, then that's our Scripture, right? Whatever we do, whatever we say, I am that I am. All right? Last week, the only way we're going to understand how this is going to work is for us to understand that God does not want us to be slaves. He wants us to be heirs. We covered that last Wednesday. You can't stop with salvation because now you just are a slave to a debt. You now owe God your life. You haven't given it to Him. You owe it to Him. Because Jesus paid your debt. You accepted Jesus as your Savior, but too many of us have not accepted God as our Father. We think we're somewhere in a position lower than Jesus Christ, and that's not what Jesus died for. Jesus died so that He could open a door so we could have the same Father and the same relationship as Jesus Himself does. That makes sense? But now we're saved, we're cleansed, we've got our gas tanks completely cleaned out, there's no more crud in there, but we're totally empty. We have no power to do anything. And that's why so many new Christians fall, is because they don't understand the Word, they're not taught that they've got to take some more steps. We always like to talk about being filled with the Spirit, but we never understand that it's not only just a suggestion, it's a requirement. And it's not an act. It's not doves coming down or it's still happening. It's not fire shooting out our heads. It is an empowerment. It is the Spirit of the living God moving on us and in us. And the next Scripture tells us that when this happens, we receive the Spirit of adoption. So now we're not slaves, we're adopted sons. Well, I don't know what you're getting at. Well, I do. You're not an heir yet. You don't get heaven because you get saved. Now that may go against some people's theology, but you just need to read your Bible. You're saved daily. You work out your salvation with fear and trembling. These are all scriptures. He doesn't want us to stay in that position. He wants us to receive by the Spirit of adoption. That means, wow, I'm part of the family of God. That rolls off easy. I'm part of the family of God. But the third step that's required is that by the Spirit, we're going to become an heir of God. We've got way too many born again that haven't even gotten the Spirit of adoption. And then those that have just refuse to believe that they could be a son of God. And that's why the church is as weak as it can be. Because nobody throws their son back, their shoulders back and says, I am sent me. Why? Because I know him. And I know what he wants. And I know what he wants to tell you. And I come to you in the name of the Lord, but I come to you as a son of God. And I come in all the power of God the Father. How do I know that? Because whatever he tells me to do, he's going to back it up because he don't want to look bad. He knows I did a good job of looking bad, and he says, no more. I'll do it for you so it'll look good from now on. Y'all can say amen. I know some of you relate to that. I do. Only by the Spirit of God will we become heirs of God. Okay. I want to read to you in Romans. I think I've got that there. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 17. That's what I brought to you last week. Now I want you to, when we read these scriptures, I want you to listen. Because God, this is God's word and it speaks. It's not some light on the wall. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. You notice it doesn't say filled with the Spirit. You notice it doesn't say tongues. It doesn't say all of the other things that I don't even want to go to. The pictures are painted on the wall. It says those that are led. That's a continuous, every moment of every day walk. Not little spurts of power. Not little fires flashing from the eyes once in a while. It is a continuous walk. Led by God. They are sons of God. The next verse. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. In other words, he don't want you in bondage because he paid for you. He doesn't want you. Let's say it another way. He doesn't want you feeling like you owe him his life or your life. He wants you to understand that he is your life. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. When we're born again, we're not crying out, Abba, Father. We're crying out, thank you, Jesus. Now, don't hear anything except what the Spirit is saying. But Jesus never went around preaching Jesus. He went around preaching the kingdom of his Father God. Why? Because that is who we're supposed to be. When I'm born again, thank you, Jesus. But let's don't hit high center there. We can do that the rest of our life and not get anywhere. Those that are led by the Spirit of God become the sons of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, not yet heirs. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So there's some more work. What's the suffering? Well, it's the work that God is doing in us. It doesn't feel good. It's not always fun. Can there be other suffering? I don't want to go there. It's not my business. I can't tell you. But I know for me, the hardest part is those things, like nearly on a daily basis, when God shows you something that you need to work on. And it just doesn't seem to stop. Is that suffering? Not really. I'm a son. I'm suffering in the house of God. Alrighty. Now let me get to tonight. You can show that scripture again if you want to. Exodus 3:14. I want you to look at that right quick, and I want to give you a definition. I don't want to get too technical. I could get real technical, but I am. The definition number of that is 1961. That way, if you go to your Englishman Concordance and find out how many times and how it's used in your Bible, that's what you have to do if you're going to study this word out. The word is actually I. If you go to your Strong's, you'll find out M is always 9999, which means it's been added for clarity. But we're going to stick with I am because it's the way we've been taught. I am that I am would be the same as stand that stand. That make sense to you? Not really. You know, this scripture has bothered me for years until recently. And I hope we can get an understanding of it. But there's two people's voices here. One is the voice of God and one is the voice of Moses. Now, are you hearing me? I am that I am is saying to you tonight, God and I are saying something to you. I am that I am is why it was said twice. God wants Moses to say, God, which is I, and Moses, which is I, we're speaking right now. Don't look at me funny. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am has sent me. Now let's go ahead and start studying a little bit. By the way, the word I there, and I got sidetracked, means to exist, to become, to be, and to come to pass. That's yesterday, today, and forever. That's Alpha and Omega. What that word means is, see, we have everything in a tense, and God never spoke in a tense in His life. You hear me? The Word was written before the foundations of the earth, and is forever, and it will never change. It's hard for us to understand, but when God spoke something, He spoke backwards, forwards, up, down, sideways, and it became established forever. I am that I am. Turn to Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read this to you, and I hope we can break it down, get some better understanding. We're getting a little deep here. Y'all going to keep up? Not that I'm anything special, but I mean, I'm having to keep up with this, so you might as well. I'm learning. Every time I study this, I'm learning something. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, which is father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. 2. Now I want you to catch something right off the bat. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. Who showed up? Angel of the Lord. You all got that, right? Don't lose that. Angel of the Lord showed up and appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw, now who was there? Angel of the Lord. Don't forget this. When the Lord saw, well, don't you think he was seeing the whole time? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. You see the second I am in this scripture already? Here I am. Moses said, here I am. The angel of the Lord is the only one that's there. It didn't say God showed up in the bush. God spoke. The Lord saw. But the angel of the Lord is the one that appeared. Or was there speaking. That's important. You need to understand. Don't wait for God to show up to hear. He's got other ways to speak to you. The Spirit of God leads you. Right? So now we've got the Spirit of God speaking to the Spirit of Moses. You've got an I Am speaking to I Am. You saw that, didn't you? Here I am. He didn't say, here is Moses. All right, next verse. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Now, what made this ground holy? Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. The place where who stands? Who's standing there? And who's holy under that stand? That wasn't where God was standing, it's where Moses was standing. Why take the sandals off? Connection. Man, if I told you this was holy ground, get your shoes off and put your feet there. Right? That's what God's saying. Well, something's going on here. Get those shoes off and let's fellowship a little bit. Get some connection here. Go on to verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am. Now here's the name of God. I am. And just as you are having a hard time with that, so is Moses. So God explains a little more. The angel is talking to Moses. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Stan, the God of Doyle, the God of my wife. Are you hearing me? This is who your God's name is. Forever. Before, after, forever, the God of everybody, I am. That's who your God's name is. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Well, it never said God was there. It said angel of the Lord was there. Isn't it amazing how we get... Even Moses had a little religion in him. Oh, if I look at God, I'll burn up. Well, he'd already looked at he'd turned to look at the burning bush. He was standing on holy ground. He was talking to God's voice. While God's voice was talking to him, there wasn't much worse or better thing that could have happened. But fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Amen? We've got to get over that if we want to talk to God. We can't be afraid of anything. All right, where'd he go? And the Lord said, let me say it another way. What you don't understand is I am already there. I already have a plan. And I'm going to try to explain. That's what he's saying to Moses. I'm going to try to get this through your head. The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. In other words, Moses, you don't have to tell me what's wrong. I'm here to tell you how we're going to handle it. See, too many times we show up to tell God what we need and what needs to go on instead of showing up and letting God tell us how it's going to be resolved. Take those shoes off. Make a connection here so I can speak to you more clearly. And so I have come down to deliver them. I got to ask you something. Who was down? Who had their shoes off on holy ground? Come on, don't be afraid to answer. I ask you, who was down? Who was going to do the delivering? The second I am, Moses. That's who's going to do it. Why? God already knows he's going to listen. God already knows he's going to obey. The connection's been made. So I have come down to deliver them. How did I come down? I'm giving you my voice. I'm giving you my name. I'm telling you who I am, and I'm telling you you're going to use it. God has seated himself in a throne, and he's not coming down. So we know this is not God saying, I'm going to physically come down. The Spirit of God has fallen on Moses. God's in Moses now. Moses in God. And now we're going to deliver him. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and all the otherites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children. Listen! Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Don't pray about it anymore. I've already seen it. Listen! I'm going to tell you what to do. If he were a general, he'd say, now, now, now. I'm not going to tell you do it a week from now, a month from now. I'm telling you it's done right here. As soon as you say yes and amen, so be it, and become part of I Am, the work is finished, even though it hasn't even been done yet. You hear that? Your faith has to know that. If you're going to do mighty things for God, your faith has to know. The minute God speaks to you through a word of wisdom, through a written word, it doesn't make any difference, the voice of God. The job is finished. You just hadn't even started yet. But you already know it's finished. Amen, and so be it. It's done. Take your shoes off. Get them dirty. Get your feet dirty. Let's make a connection here. I hear, I know. Come, is it 10 now? Yeah. Come now, therefore, and I will send you. Now, it confirms what I told you a while ago. Listen to me, and I'm sending you. Just Moses, right? Nobody else has ever been sent. I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people out of Egypt. Who's going to do the delivering? Come on, guys. You ought to start feeling a little bit of this through your feet that you got unshod a while ago. You need to start. Moses is going to do this. God has already done it. You're going to do it. We need to quit talking about what God's going to do. God's already done it. His command before the foundation of the earth was now, 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 and he's waiting for you to hear the command. Those that are led by the Spirit become the sons of God. There's some more delivering to do. Jesus did his. We got to do ours. Now, Moses tried to become a butt. But Moses said to God, who? Who am I? Well, if I were there, I would have said, you said I am. What do you mean, who am I? You said, I am. That was your answer, right? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will be with you. You do know that you can do a lot more with two eyes than one? Okay. I will be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. What's the sign? When you have brought the people out of Egypt. I think this is the funniest thing in the Bible right here. You know, we're all waiting for a sign on what's to come. And God says, the sign is when you've done it. The sign is, when you brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Verse 13. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, now wait a minute, who's going to say to the children of Israel? what I want you to see here is how these two entities are becoming one. That God no longer is referring to Himself doing the work when He says I. He's referring to Moses when He says I. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? I am that I am is two entities becoming one. The hardest thing for me to do is look at you and say, "Hi, God." But that's what we're supposed to do. If I know she's doing a work of God, then I know God's working through her. Therefore, she is the God that I'm looking at the moment. She is the I am that I'm looking at the moment. I hope you're beginning to catch this a little bit. When I come to the children of Israel and say to them, "The God of your fathers has sent me to you," and they say to me, "What is His name?" What shall I say to them? Moses is going to show up. And he's going to say, God's going to deliver you. That's what he's saying. And God said to Moses, did we skip one? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. That's what the New King James says. And he said, thus you shall say to them, to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am that I am. These are the two I ams. I am has sent me to you. I am God. And Moses says, I am your deliverer. You hear what I'm saying? I am God. And Moses says, I am your deliverer. Why? Because God's already said so. Moses has to know that he's their deliverer because God spoke it to him. He has to know it because he believed it. He has to know it because he's already seen it done through the eyes of God in faith. So he can look at those people and say, I will deliver you. What if they laugh at him? Doesn't change a thing, does it? Verse 15. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Now listen, how close do you want to get to God? Most people want to get real close to God right in the middle of a time of prayer at night, or maybe in a heavily charged worship service. But they don't want to get so close that they can't even remember that their name is I Am. They forget their name is Stan instead of I Am. Look at this. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Has anybody here ever heard of Moses before? So there's been a lot of generations that have heard of Moses. So this is not just God's legacy. This is Moses' legacy. Why? Because he chose to become I Am with the I Am. You want to get something done? You want to go down in history? Become I Am with the I Am. Verse 16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, Moses, you say to them, the Lord God of your fathers. Moses says, I am here to tell you that I am is going to deliver you. That's what's being said here. Are you keeping up with me? This is some heavy stuff we're dealing with here. So gather. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt, verse 17, and I have said I will. How does Moses know that it's going to happen? Because I am said I will. How many of you have read the Bible and ever read where God said, maybe you're healed? maybe I have healed you. Maybe I have delivered you. Maybe I've saved you. Maybe I've provided for you. When the I Am said to Moses, I will, and when the I Am said to you, I will, it's done. Now the I Am that Moses, that God chose, is Moses. I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. You'll also not find anywhere in the Bible where God says, I'm going to deliver you into trouble. I Am just told you that. Verse 18. Then they will heed your voice. Whose voice are the people heeding? Do you think they would have heeded without Moses' voice? You know, I don't want to put any weight on your shoulders, but there may be some people out there that need to be delivered, and without your voice, they're not going to get delivered. They will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to them, you shall say to him, I'm not talking to him. Me and the enemies don't talk. I send you to talk for me. Come on, did you hear what I just said? God's not going to go around commanding the devil for you. Not your enemies. He's not going to do it. Because you are the one that has been given the I Am word to do it. You are supposed to tend the garden. You are supposed to stare that snake down. You can't do that being nice. You and the elders of Israel to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of Hebrews, of the Hebrews, has met with us. Now wait a minute. Who was there? Who was in this meeting? Moses and who? The elders? You know what it says? And you are to say to them, the Lord God has met with us. Well, they were the only, Moses was the only one they saw. So now we have another step of faith. You got to know when God's speaking. Do you think God wanted him in bondage? So they knew that God wanted him out of bondage. So here comes a man and says, here's what God says. Who is the only God they see right at that moment? Moses. Come on, guys. You got to get out of your little wimpy shell. You got to get a growl in your voice. You got to get a look in your eye where it just scares some people once in a while. You got to raise that finger once in a while and say, God sent. And I am here to tell you. Well, they may foo-foo you. Well, so be it. I've asked you several times if anybody had tomatoes. You think I was joking. But if you speak with the voice of God, you're going to rile some people. You're going to cause them to step back and say, who does he think he is? I don't think I'm anybody. I know I'm a son of God. You got to figure out who I am, but I know who I am. Well, you're getting pretty egotistical. No, I'm not. I'm being truthful. And I'm trying to get some of it rubbed off on you. The Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now, please, let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Why do we need a sacrifice? It's a sacrifice of worship. We now have truth. We're going to dance and we're going to shout. We're going to burn that sacrifice that's going to come up, and it's a sweet smell to God. God's going to get a little excited. The angels are going to get a little excited. God's going to say, let's go get them now, now, now. The angel says, now, now, now. Everybody's in agreement. And guess what? The enemy doesn't even know anything's going on. The battle's already been won. The enemy's defeated, and they don't even know it. We know it, so we're shouting about it. Why? Because God's already said it. Verse 8, 19. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. Whoa. We were going up to, what in the world happened to you, Moses? He put his shoes back on. He put his safety shield back on. Listen, even Jesus said, I don't want to do this on the cross. And he had to say, nevertheless, not my will. Don't get discouraged because something slips out of your mouth once in a while. And don't get discouraged if the person you're looking at for some truth goofs up once in a while. It's okay. Don't worry about that. Just see what the next step is going to be. If I'm walking down the street and I do this, don't worry about that. Just see if I make the next step. Okay? So I will stretch out. Oh my goodness, this guy is getting beside himself. This guy's getting way too big for his britches. It's time to go find another church. I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt. Wait a minute, what happened to God? Moses got so caught up in the will of God, that's all he can see. He can see what's going to happen more than who's going to do it. You hear me? Man, we're not heirs until we forget about what we look like and just see what the job looks like. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. The king, no matter what, is going to let you go. It's not going to happen. But when I get through with him, his hide won't hold shucks. He's going to be so impressed, he'll let you go. How many of you have that much faith in God backing you up? I'm working on it. How about y'all? I'm working at it hard. Because you don't think God gave me this word because I already had it? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Let's read it again. No. Go back. We've got to read it again. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all of my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he'll let you go. Don't that give you just a few goosebumps? Actually, it challenges me. I want to be able to talk like that. I'm going to talk like that. Y'all don't seem very excited about that. What's it going to take to light your... You want to read it again? I will stretch out my hand and strike thee with all my wonders. And I will give this people favor. Now look here. He's not only stepping out and killing enemies, he's giving people favor. Did you know you had that ability? We've got to get serious about this. I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed. Now wait a minute, I didn't hear God say this. Do you understand that God not only gives you some liberty, but creates in you liberty? Well, how can he do that? Because you're an heir. Because when you figure out you're an heir of God, you are an owner of what God has. An heir is an owner. And that means the power and the authority that God has, an heir has. That's why this is a good word, if you'll catch on. I will give this people favor, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Guess what Moses just did? He passed the I am on. He said, here's the favor, here's a little I am. Now you're going to go start this stuff and you're going to fill up your baskets and you're going to help plunder this bunch. We're going to get them back. Well, Christians don't get... Oh, yes, they do. They not only get back, they get back sevenfold. They get it back. Why? Because it's God's. He wants it back. you shall plunder the Egyptians. What he just did, this is a prophetic message to the church of the living God right now. If somebody doesn't start stepping up and becoming an I am, they'll never help anybody else become an I am. Does that make spiritual sense to you? Why is it important for this church to begin to speak like an heir? Because you'll never cause anybody else to speak like that if you don't. The Spirit of the living God wants to take some ornery people, some people that growl and fire shoots out of their eyes once in a while. They get angry when somebody doesn't, when they disagree with the Word of God. They get really Spirit-filled. I'm so sick of seeing a sissy spirit. Sometimes the Spirit of God wants to lay hands on things suddenly. That wasn't the end of all the Egyptians, people. They're still around. It wasn't the end of the people using you as slaves. It wasn't the end of people stealing your stuff and calling it theirs. That only took those people. But that promise is yesterday, today, and forever. It came from a God that's yesterday, today, and forever, and is still speaking to us here tonight. And you are privileged to hear it. I was privileged when he spoke it. Now you're privileged to hear it. I'm not going to be bashful about that. You know what? We need to start doing things in the name of the Lord, I am. And if they don't work, do it again. Until we can't ever say again, they don't work. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? You know, we big, bad, bold people. We can take a little old 6, 7, 8-year-old girl, and you can say, get up and go do the dishes, and they turn and say, why? You say, because I said so. Why can't we do that to the enemy? Because we haven't taken our shoes off and met the I am. We haven't gotten down and dirty where he's at. We haven't figured we stepped on holy ground yet. Man, if everybody would understand, the reason they get saved is so they can make it to the holy ground. So they can see burning bushes. They can have it in them. The burning bush just burns all the time in you. That's what is supposed to happen. It's never consumed. You're not consumed, and the bush is not consumed. Instead, we want these little, let's take a Holy Spirit pill once in a while, and we'll all get all fired up. We'll bring somebody in to really lay on some whatever, and we'll get it fired up, and then in a few days, we lose the fire. There's a God out there that never burns out. And he wants to go into people that never burn out. I had somebody tell me one time, said, every time we talk, somehow you turn it into something with God. Your point? What else is there? There isn't anything else. You want to talk politics? Mm-mm. No, you won't like what I say about politics, so let's just don't go there. Or you can talk about the weather. I can talk to the weather, but I'm not going to talk about the weather. I can talk to you, but I won't talk about you. Now we're talking about real people of God when they start talking to people and not about them. And when I talk to you, it's for deliverance. It's for setting you free. It's for restoring what's been stolen from you. Otherwise, let's don't talk. Let's just don't talk. Because those are idle words, the rest of that stuff. When we're out there, let's become a Moses. Let's call people. When people are around us, let's call God into the picture. This is what God's doing. This is what he's going to do. You don't believe that? Next. I'm looking for somebody that's in agreement so we can get something done. Guess we ought to start showing up this place barefooted. Not nearly barefooted. Take your sandals off. I am going to do something. I'm going to stop. I'll give you this example. It's absolutely amazing. When you begin to study what God means by I am. When you start looking at the references, you'll find them starting in Genesis verse 2. That's where he became. That's when. No. See, I'm putting tense in there. That's when he already was I am. And it shows him already speaking as I am, both to be and to come. Already there, to come. How do you get to be invincible? How do you get to be bulletproof? How do you get to be one that can't die? That can't be defeated? What was it? Be filled with the Spirit of God. Not like we've been taught, but you become one with God. Led by the Spirit of God is God. If you're doing everything God says, you're God. What? How did that stand? You're blaspheming. No, I'm not. Because you understand that this is the will of God. This is the beginning of all knowledge and will of God right here. Well, let's stop there. No, sir. You're going to find out there's more stuff out there than this can be put in this book. You'll find out soon that this is a table of contents for God's Word. It is not the only God's Word. It's a table of, He's still writing on your heart new things. But what does that mean? That means you already know what He wants. We need to quit spending time trying to figure out what He wants. The minute we know that He wants you. You think He wants you? Or are you just no good? He wants you. Peace? All. The minute we can figure out how to give Him all, and that's really the hard part. That's the work of salvation, is knowing how to give Him everything. If He can get a hold of that, we can walk up to people and say, I'm going to deliver you. I'll say it to you another way. I'll slip something in on you. You hang around me long enough, I'm either going to teach you God's Word or I'm going to brainwash you. That is not the first time I've ever said that. Believe me. That's what I mean. I mean every bit of it. If I'm going to take the time to listen to God and study His Word, and that's what I'm called to do, then I fully intend to impact somebody with it. Moses didn't take his shoes off so he could stand there. He took his shoes off so he could get a good connection and go do something. Come on, there's not enough amens behind what I'm saying here. I am that I am. When God first put this in my mind several weeks back, I was sitting here and I was listening to Pastor Doyle preach on Sunday morning, and I could not believe how many times he said, I and I am. Now, what you need to do is listen to yourself in the conversation in the next few days and figure out how many times you say I. And the reason I want you to do that is because you're going to start saying, listen, did God say that or did I? And as you weed out you, it'll be more of God. And don't say I unless you mean it. If you say to that child, because I said so, then you mean it. You make that child or that person understand that you meant what you said. I watched a live fire demonstration of a helicopter attack while I was gone. One of the things that caught my eye, other than the practice, was they figured out how to attack. They got their marching orders. I heard them on the radios. I'd hear the attack orders. And here comes these choppers flying. Boy, I mean, they're coming fast. They know where they were going, banking those things 90 degrees and coming in, coming down. But you know what? They're moving too fast. Can't get a good shot. They flare, they go whoosh. There's an eye on the front of those helicopters that's looking. It's on the video screens. When that thing goes up, they've already got it logged in and the guns are already beginning to point. And when they stop, They drop that nose again, and now they start firing from a standstill position and begin to move forward. And there's nothing can stand in their way. They hesitated long enough to get a good vision. They stopped just long enough to make sure they're pointed at the right thing. And when they do that, they fire. And they don't quit firing until it's eliminated. Your Lord, our God, was not born in the Hilton. He was born in a dung pile. He started in a garbage dump. So much obvious that they said of him, nothing good comes out of that place. And he fought and he fought and he fought. And he won. What for? Because you're the garbage dump. And he had to change things. Now we need to quit. We need to stop thinking about where we came from, as our Lord did, and think more about where we're going. Don't want to know who you're not. I don't know I don't want to know what you did bad or anything else, because it makes no difference. I just want to know what God has told you. So you can show up and say, "I am here to do this, whatever it is God has told you, and we're going to get it done, because I've already seen it done." See, I don't know where this is going to take me, but I'm going to live with this for a while until I get it down. I don't know what it's going to do to me. It may burn me up right here in front of you, and that is fine. That is fine. If I just explode right here, I'm for it. What I want is that God that I saw right there to burn me up eternally. So that I don't even know where I'm at, but I know it's holy. I bet you Moses wasn't thinking about where he was at right then. He was beginning to wonder if he's going to get out. See, let's get so much into God that we lose us. We lose our way. We lose our equilibrium. We lose our ability to think things through. How quick can this happen? How quick can you be led by the Spirit? How quick can I be led by the Spirit? When are we going to stop being afraid? God didn't give us the spirit of fear. When are we going to stop worrying about the next job or the next step or the next paycheck? I wonder if Moses said to God, "God, this is a big thing. I think I need a pay increase. Well, you know, I've got all these expenses." No. God said, "I have seen you. I know what trouble you're in. You are now delivered." How will you know? Well, the sign will be when you don't have any more problems. Now, what we need to do is make sure that every day I have less problems than I had the day before. I didn't say there was less threats. I'm just saying that I am and I got together, and the more we get together, the more I am I get. I want to ask you something. Have I encouraged you tonight, or have I confused you? Have I challenged you some? See, I failed God if I didn't challenge you tonight. And I take that very serious. I am sent me here to get a word, just like I am sent Moses, to get a word across to you. You are just as much plagued by Egyptians as those people right now. Let's say it another way. You are affected too much by the Egyptians and not enough by the deliverance of God, by the word of God. Because you are waiting. We wait for the deliverance of God instead of saying, "Get going. You'll see it." Stand. Get going. You'll see it. Get going. You can eat any elephant in the world one bite at a time. But you got to bite. Don't wait for the elephant to bite you. Come on. Y'all got enough? Or you want to stay another hour? I got some more. Come on. You got to. Why don't Christians say something once in a while? Stand with me. That's the trouble with Christians. They live in a free country. They'll run down to vote about things that are not important. And when the word comes out, there's no agreement. Ooh. You got to vote. One more thing. When you are born again, you are under the rule, and that's all you are. You will never rule. You'll be under rule. When you become or have the spirit of adoption planted in you, you begin to think that one day you might be able to rule and not just be a slave. But when you become an heir, you rule. You rule. Because you cannot have God's name and not rule. He won't give it to you if you don't intend to rule. Start with you. Don't start with me to rule. You start with you. And when you get good at ruling you, God will give you some other assignments. I promise you. You won't ask for them. He will give them to you. You may say, "Not me, God." And He's going to say, "I didn't ask you. I told you." We've heard that one before, hadn't we, Connie? He told me one time, "I don't remember asking you anything. Just do it." I like it when God speaks plain. Didn't take me a second voice. Didn't take me confirmation on that one, I promise you. Hallelujah. You want to rule or you want to be ruled? Never take an order when you can give one. Never be satisfied with taking orders. You're not at that heir position yet if you're still not willing to give the orders. Never feel bad if you're taking orders. But always know that your Father has a different assignment for you than you know today. Man, I wish I could show you what's running through my mind right now. Man. There is nothing too late. Nothing is too late. I'll just sum some of this up that I'm seeing. Nothing is too late. Nothing is too late. I promise you, nothing is too late. Nothing is too small. One man, how many people do you think that man delivered? How many? Maybe 3 million. We don't know. There was millions. I'll say that. One man. One man. That got a hot foot with God. God lit him on fire. Let's volunteer. Can I encourage you to volunteer for that? Don't go to me. Don't go to the pastor. Don't just volunteer to God. Just go say, "God, You fired me up. Now You got to put up with me. What do You want me to do?" Amen? Y'all are so quiet, I'm just going to assume that you're astounded. The wonders that I just did. Father, we thank You so much for meeting with us here tonight, that Your voice was heard. We tuned our ears to it and we heard You. We heard the challenge. We heard the directive. We say, "Yes, sir." We heard now, now, now. So what we do is we lay awake at night with our eyes open and saying, "Oh, my God. You want me to do that? Okay." We will not be afraid. We will not be afraid. And one day soon, people will show up at this nut house to find out what's going on. Because they hear. They hear people being delivered. They hear of people with testimonies that cannot be, they're burning bushes. They cannot be silenced. Let that be established. Let it be true and let it be now, now, now in this place. In Jesus' name, we thank You that it's done. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank God if your eyes are open. I should turn this off, shouldn't I?